Let's pray. Our Lord, we just thank you so much for this opportunity that we have to be together as your sons and daughters, as brothers and sisters in Christ, and to come together into your presence to worship you. Oh Lord, you are our Messiah. You are our Redeemer. You are God with us. And we just thank you, Lord, for the constancy of your presence. You're with us in the sunshine, and you're with us in the storms. And wherever we're at this morning in our circumstances, we just pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would open our hearts and our minds to receive the word and the ministry that you have for every one of us here this morning. And Lord, we lift up our sisters and brothers who are especially facing difficult times. With love, dear Lord, we pray for the Souter family as they are missing our dear sister Judy. We pray especially for family members, for persons who were close to Judy. We pray especially for the children who are an important part of our faith family. For Joe and Breon and Vanessa, Lord, we just pray for them that you would permeate their lives with your love in this difficult time. And Lord, we know that there are others in our faith family who are missing loved ones too at this time of the year. In our hearts, we lift them up to you in prayer. By name, we lift them up to you. And we pray, dear Lord, that your grace and your peace would be upon each one of them. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, here we are. First Sunday after Christmas. It seems like it was just a week ago that we were beginning the Advent wreath and we were talking about anticipating, and here we are, and we're remembering. And I suppose every one of us here in this room maybe has some sort of visual memory of your experience of Christmas this year. I think I'm going to especially remember the Sunday before Christmas. Wasn't it wonderful to suddenly see Caleb and Ronnie on the screen from Jamaica up here in front of us last Sunday? And last Sunday night, Alan and Jen up here leading us in the Christmas carols, Pastor Chris suddenly showing up as a shepherd. And another memorable moment in my Christmas will be this long row of hay bales. Kind of tough work for the guys who are cleaning up, right, Merv? But it was wonderful to have these hay bales across the front and all of our children sitting there. That's just a picture also that I'm going to keep in my mind. And then Juan and Miranda singing that beautiful music, Pastor Chris reminding us of the amazing ministry that Jesus came to do. And the candle lighting, the soft strumming of Silent Night, and the sense of his presence. I will remember the Sunday before Christmas. And then there's some things that I'm going to remember from our house as well. And Chase, there's some things that you're going to remember from your house as well. And so I'm just going to ask you to come up, Chase, and be ready to say what you're going to remember from your house while I say what I'm going to remember from our house. I'm going to remember Monday night before Christmas when I came home from work and there was this UPS box in the porch and I picked it up and took it and opened it up and found out it was Bev's gift for me. And I panicked and I went to the drawer to get the packaging tape and I was going to try like crazy to repackage it and I thought, no, I think confession is a better route to take. And she forgave me and it was the most beautifully packed wrapped package on Christmas morning, and she gave it to me as if I never knew. But you know, the greatest surprise in our house was halfway through Christmas morning, this little four-legged ball of fur showed up in Bev's arms. And that's a gasp that I'll never forget from Christmas. Four-legged ball of fur. Presented to her by her husband. and the cat has yet to have a name. Chase, what are you going to remember from your Christmas?
We read the Christmas story, and cool. We on Christmas Eve we had a lot of food.
Lots of food.
And I got my catcher's gear.
You got what?
Catcher's gear for baseball.
Okay. And okay. Wonderful. Getting ready to be Chase Utley, huh?
Not yet.
Okay. Any other memories from Christmas?
No.
So how would you say your family especially remembered Jesus at Christmas time?
We give gifts in honor of Jesus.
You give gifts in honor of Jesus. Wonderful. Okay. Thanks, Chase. Give Chase a hand. And I'd just like us to take a moment now to think about remembering. We're remembering all the time, right? I mean, probably the best topic at our Christmas gatherings is, remember when we used to have a rotary television? Remember when we camped out on the living room floor on Christmas Eve? And I get together at Christmas time with my sisters and brothers, and we're saying, remember when all of our Christmases growing up, we used to go skating almost every year at Christmas time, and now it's like they don't do ice anymore. Outside? We're always remembering. But the Bible seems to say that there is a special kind of remembering that God wants us to do. It's almost a spiritual discipline, this remembering that God wants us to do. It's something that doesn't just happen. It's something that we do as an act of our will. We say, Lord, walk with me as I reflect on this day, or as I reflect on this week, or as I reflect on this year. Walk with me. And this kind of remembering helps us to really focus in on who we are and who we are becoming. And many times, for me, it's this kind of remembering that the Holy Spirit uses to nudge me to make some adjustments in my life so that I keep on moving toward that place where God wants me to be. 40 times the book of Deuteronomy says, remember, remember. Remember the second Sunday of Advent? Remember when we talked about waiting? Remember what Pastor Chris told us that Sunday about waiting? How do you wait in those in-between times, he asked, when you're waiting for the admissions letter to come from college, when you're waiting for the response to come from your job application, when you're waiting for the medical report to come, when you're waiting and thinking, how are we ever going to make it? The word was, remember in those times. Remember. Remember what God has done. Remember what God is doing. And remember what God will do. Remember. Now just think with me first of all about remember what God is doing. Many Christians practice this every day. We come to the end of the day, and we think back over the day, and we think of the gifts that God has given to us, and we thank Him. I thanked the Lord last week one day as I was remembering my day. I said, oh, Lord, I just thank you so much that you helped me miss that big buck as I was going down Swamp Creek Road. We thank Him for the gifts of the day. And we confess our failures and receive His grace. And we entrust our concerns to Him. Lord, there are these issues in my heart that are really weighing heavily, but now I know you want me to sleep. So I just want to entrust these concerns to you and pray that you would work in these issues while I sleep. Remember, at the end of each day, give thanks, confess, and trust. Okay? that kind of spiritual discipline has just been a very important nurturing influence in my life. And then remember at the end of the week, you know, tucked away in Deuteronomy's account of the Ten Commandments, when the Lord establishes the Sabbath day, right after he establishes the Sabbath day, he says this, Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and God delivered you with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, remember. The Sabbath has been set aside for us, at least in part, for us to remember. Remember as we're together this morning what God has done. Remember what God is doing. Remember all that he has promised to do. Remember what he is saying to us this morning. Remember how he is leading us this morning. We remember at the end of the day. We remember at the end of the week. And many of us remember in a special way at the end of the year. New Year's Eve. Some of us are going to sing, perhaps, "O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come. Our shelter from the stormy blast and our eternal home." At the end of the year, all of us look back over the year and we see a mix of good times and hard times. We see times of happiness and joy. We see times of sadness and sorrow. And for some of us this morning, we are especially feeling the pain of sorrow. Truth be told, there are some times when there is stuff back there that hurts so bad that we try not to remember it. But regardless of what our circumstances are, we haven't given up, right? Regardless of what our circumstances are, we're here this morning. And that means that through the year, there must have been strength beyond our strength. There must have been wisdom beyond our wisdom, giving us light for the way. There must have been love beyond our love to strengthen our hearts. And we look back and we realize, you know, he was with us. He was with us all the way, even though many times we weren't consciously aware of it. And so we say, like the song does, "'Twas grace that brought me safe this far, and grace will lead me home." Right? Remembering with thanksgiving, friends, brings us peace and hope that what God has done, he will continue to do, and what God has begun, he will bring to fulfillment in your life and mine. Amen? Remember what God is doing, and remember what God will do. Would you take your green card that was handed to you in the bulletin this morning? It's the Old Testament text this morning is Isaiah 41, and I want to just especially pick out verse 10, and I want us to look at that verse together, and I'd like us to read it together. Let me just say, as you're looking at this verse, that some folks refer to Isaiah 41 as the "I will" chapter. Because in that chapter, God says, "I will," 14 times. I will, I will, I will. And here is one of the strongest "I will" statements. Would you read it with me? "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." You know, I'm always inspired by what seems like the increasing strength of God's promise in this verse. He says, "I'm with you. I am your God." Then he says, "I will strengthen you." And it just kind of seems like he comes back again and he says, "I will help you." And then he comes back one more time and he says, "I'm going to put my arm around you and hold you up." And what an assurance from God. What an "I will" assurance from God as we head into a new year. We go with the assurance that we are surrounded by his care, right? And so we remember what God is doing, we remember what he has promised, and we remember what he has done. Would you turn with me to Luke chapter 4? Luke chapter 4. This is the second text that is listed in your bulletin. And those of you who were here last Sunday evening know that Pastor Chris led us in this text. And I want to use this text this morning just for one word. Just for one word. But I got to give you the background first. Jesus had begun his ministry, and he was going around teaching in surrounding villages. And now Jesus was coming back to his hometown of Nazareth. And he came to the synagogue, as was his custom. And the leader of the synagogue gave the scroll of Isaiah to Jesus. Guest rabbis usually had the opportunity to read and perhaps make a commentary on the reading. And it's so significant to me that of all the scriptures that Jesus could have chosen to read that day, Jesus chose Isaiah 61, 1-3. And that's what we have here beginning at verse 18. Follow as I read. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." You're looking for the Messiah? Here I am. And this is a picture of the ministry that I've come to do. But the word that I have underscored in my Bible, the word that has really stirred me this whole Christmas season, is the last word in verse 19, favor. I've come to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Wikipedia says favor is kindness that is more than expected or more than due. Favor is unusual kindness. Kindness that is beyond what is expected. Kindness that is beyond what is due. The word is favor. Favor. Would you just say that word with me? Favor. I don't know, I almost feel the beauty of that word. You know, that word is used two times before Jesus uses it here. In Luke chapter 1, when the angel came to Mary and told her that the Christ would be conceived in her, the angel said, "Greetings, Mary, you are highly favored." And of course, she was troubled, the scripture says, as she was trying to process all of this. And the angel came back to Mary and said, "Mary, you're favored by God." Twice he told her that she was favored. This is just an incredibly special opportunity that you have, Mary. And this has come as an expression of God's kindness to you. And how did Mary respond? "Lord, let it be to me as you have said. I'm your servant, Lord. Just whatever you have said, let it happen in my life." The next time favor is used is when the angels gave the message to the shepherds. The angels said, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill to them on whom God's favor rests." The angels are saying, favor of an unusual kind. Unusual kindness is coming into the world. And like an increasing river, God's kindness is coming into the world. And now Jesus begins his ministry, and he says, "I have come to declare the year of the Lord's favor." And you know what? Everyone in the synagogue that day knew exactly what he meant. Because God had established the year of the Lord's favor, God had established the year of Jubilee in Leviticus 25. God told the leaders of Israel, "Every 50th year, I want you to blow the trumpet and declare that this is a special year. And there's three things that are going to happen. All debts are going to be canceled. All land will be returned to the rightful owners. somebody who was so poor, couldn't pay his debts, needed to give the land as payment. That's going to be returned. And all slaves will be returned to their families. Folks, again, who had gotten so poor, they had to sell themselves into servitude. In the year of Jubilee, they get to go back to their families. God says, every 50 years, I'm going to press the reset button. Every 50 years, you get the return to go and collect $200, as we used to say in Monopoly. You get to start over. I just was thinking as I was reflecting on this passage, I wonder if credit card companies know about this scripture. What if they took it seriously? What if they put out a news flash tomorrow and said, hey, January 1st, 2015, all credit cards go back to zero. That's an illustration of this deal, but don't hold your breath. Because you know this? It never happened in the Old Testament either. Not once did it happen. Not once. God had established it in Leviticus 25, but not once was it done. Never was the trumpet blown. It never happened. I wonder why. Maybe it was because the people in power were also the people with the money. They were the people who would have been owed. And so there was always a reason that we're not going to do it this year. This just doesn't seem to be the kind of year we'll do it in. Maybe several years from now. But it never happened. Not once. And now, Jesus comes on the scene. He says, I have come to declare the year of the Lord's favor, verse 19. I have come to blow the trumpet. What you would not do for each other, God will do for you. God will forgive your sins because of your disobedience to Him. God will set you free from whatever issues have you trapped. God will restore to you the inheritance of everlasting life that you lost by your father, Adam. I have come to declare the year of the Lord's favor. Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. It's wonderful. Now get ready for the greatest wonder of all. When a debt is forgiven, the loss has to go somewhere, right? Right? I mean, it seems like we hear it in the news a lot. Persons not able to pay their debts, whole companies kind of folding, and whole countries not able to pay their debts. And this kind of situation can go on for a while, but eventually someone has to pay. Sometimes on a national level, other countries will come in and bail them out. Sometimes the debt gets paid, maybe gets passed maybe to the next generation to need to pay. But unpaid debt has to go somewhere. Listen, where does the loss go when God forgives our debt? Where does the loss go? He absorbs it in Himself. 1 Peter 2:24. He Himself bore our sins in His own body on the cross, the righteous for the unrighteous, that He might bring us to God. That's what it took to bring in the year of the Lord's favor. And that's what we remember in communion this morning. In all the world, in all of history, there has never, ever been a kindness like this. And in our communion service this morning, we remember Jesus. And we remember what it cost Him to bring in the year of the Lord's favor. We will take the bread this morning and we'll hear Him say, we should hear Him say, each one of us, to our hearts, this is My body broken for you. And we'll take the cup this morning, and we should hear him say, "This cup is the new covenant, my blood, which has been poured out for you." And what should our response be? I think a lot like Mary's. In view of his great kindness to us, I believe this morning we just want to respond to him again and say, "Lord, we want to continue to affirm that we are your servants. I am the Lord's servant," she said. May it be to me as you have said." Listen, "Lord, may all that you have spoken about the year of the Lord's favor be a reality in my life. Forgiveness, new life under the Lordship of Christ, hope forevermore. The year of the Lord's favor is here." Praise God.